Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, it is an absolutely gorgeous day in New Jersey. Thank goodness the sun finally came out. And I have all these fantastic birds on my patio because I put food out every year, lots of food. And I've had one pesky little squirrel that comes up and is trying to steal all the food. But I throw him food, too, on the lawn. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce, and this is her third time on my radio show because she was on my show years ago, many years ago. And we talked about barefoot sandals and, oh, just a lot of things. We had a blast. That was like an hour show. It felt like 15 minutes. But tonight I have back with me, and this is part Cuba part two. I have the wonderful, beautiful, talented Beverly Beveridge, and she's in Florida right now. So welcome, Beverly.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. It's so great to be on your show again. I know all the shows always seem like they're 5, 10, 15 minutes long. And last time, actually, I called from Florida. This time, I'm in Cape May with the girls tennis tournament. Yeah. We're just kind of all over. We're in Jersey. We're in Jersey today.
Oh, good, good. Okay, Jersey girls. Oh, good, good. But I remembered you said something about Florida, so that's the... Oh, I know. I was reading your article, I guess. Maybe it was in there. I don't know. I'm all over the place,
it was,
you know.
Yeah.
From one radio show to the next. Kind of like, you know.
Yes.
But, How did you do today?
We did pretty good. We just had, there's matches going on now, but we actually just had a clinic, and yeah, we did pretty good except for a couple of overheads. I mean, you know, a few of us might have a little bit of black eyes later, we'll see.
Oh, gosh.
So if you miss an overhead, that's what happens hours later.
I have to congratulate you because I just think it's wonderful. I remember I went to Star of the Sea Academy in my freshman year of high school, and there were only 14 girls in my class, and that was after going to parochial school my whole life from kindergarten up, and I took tennis, and it was hysterical because I just was so terrible at it, and I'm really good at skeet ball and basketball. I played basketball, and that was better. I needed a bigger ball. I think that was it. I just was not a good tennis player at all, and so there went that. But you're such a busy girl, and that's just great because it keeps you really active. Like, I'm a couch potato, so I just admire you for... God, all
you, Nance. But look at, you know what? You should come down with us next time. We're here for, well, the girls are here for 4 days. I can't because I have a lot of stuff going on the weekend with Rutgers and all my daughter and with President Obama coming in and all that. But next time you should come down because we're really having fun. We just met with my girlfriend that owns a couple of restaurants down there, and she treated us to a beautiful lunch. And so it's just fun. And, you know, you learn how to play tennis all over again.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you're not just the girl. I call you the woman about town. You're not only the woman about town, but you're one of the women that have the most fun of anybody I know. I mean, some of my fun days are like going to ShopRite. Like, I get all dressed up, put all my makeup on, like, to go to ShopRite. I mean, seriously. But anyway, I want to get
right. I love going there, too. I do. I usually run in and out to buy cat and dog food, you know, a little bit of milk, this and that. But I just love keeping active. And you know what we were just told? We've read a lot about this, too, you know, Jersey girls here along the way, is that our pro is just telling us again and reinforcing to us that, you know, tennis is known to be the sport that keeps Alzheimer's. Far away. And because there's
wonderful.
So much thought, like, you know, yeah, we're trying to do this, and even, you know, the girls, like, at our age, you know, there's some younger, older, middle, and it's just like, okay, stand to the right, turn, left shoulder goes up, right shoulder goes down, rack it up, make it like you're scratching your back, do this with the over, and we're all like, what? It's like, we've just been playing tennis for 30, 40 years already, and, you know, all these things, you know, you're told again from scratch, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to be doing that. So he says, that's why Alzheimer's stays away, or Alzheimer's, however you say it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it keeps your mind really active, super active, to have to remember all those things. So
exactly. And music, too.
I do want to get into Cuba because the time is going to go so dang fast with us. The last time it did, it seemed like literally 10 minutes, and it was gone in a flash.
I know, I know.
But I remember you telling me one of the last experiences that you had in Cuba, and, oh, for all of those that didn't hear it, I already put down, please just go. I gave them the date and everything. Go to 128, 216 to your part one. But this part two, I remember you telling me a night when you stayed out later, a lot of people had already said, well, we're going to retire for the evening. They've been going all day and night, so they're going to go. But you decided to stay behind. And you stayed so far behind that you had trouble getting back to where your bed was. So that's where we left off. So from there,
would you pick it up and
kind of continue on with your adventures in Cuba?
Of course. That was the night that kind of where it all began. I think it was our second night there only. We just, you know, Ed, Matt, and myself, we moved into things very quickly. We were at one of the events, and it was like a it was like the Stone Pony, you know, kind of like the Stone Pony summer stage. And you walk through a building, like this artsy building, like a little museum type building, and then it opens up to the back to a stage. And about we were getting all of our pink Cadillacs and, well, everything that, you know, that our convertibles that were coming to pick us up. And it was the last call, okay? And the guys come up to me and they said, Bev, you know, it's you, Matt, and Ed, right? Ed Johnson and Matt Hawk and Justin. I said, they said, do you want to take, we've got a pink convertible Cadillac outside. Do you want to take that? And I said, you know what, I better go. It's about 10 after 11, 11:30 is about the time we get to the hotel. It'd be, you know, whatever. And every night we would go for drinks at the bar when we got back anyway. So Matt and Ed looked at me and, you know, both with their puppy dog eyes saying, oh, don't go yet. You know, stay with us. So I ended up staying. And boy, I'm glad I did because, you know, all of a sudden the whole entire venue literally emptied out. And there was a new swarm of people that came in. And we're like, something is going on, you know. And that's when Valdez had walked in. And it was amazing. Lazarito Valdez, he walked in and with his band. And it amazing, just blew our minds. I mean, it was just an incredible, you know, next couple of hours. Ed had said, you know, we should bring them back to Asbury. And, you know, Matt and I agreed. And we were both talking about how we were going to do this. And that, Ed happened to have his cards on him. And he went over, he goes, I'm going to give him my card and let's see if we can meet with him afterwards. And I said, okay. And he did. And it was loud, of course. You know, the music was loud. It was packed. Matt and I were dancing. I mean, we were just having such a good time. And all of a sudden, someone comes back and says, please wait here after the, you know, show, and we're going to have a car meet you out front, and you're going to come back to our private jazz club. And we just looked at each other and said, okay. So I guess about 2:30 in the morning. We were still awake. We were actually still dancing at the time. We even got Ed to dance. Do not ever let him tell you he did not, because he did. And we went
that's an achievement.
And with that music, you can't help but move, you know. And but let me tell you, what we were doing as dancing is, it was no comparison to what they were dancing. I mean, they were just fabulous dancers. And so we did, as they had said, the car was there waiting for us. They took us to this club, which was only about 5 minutes away. And it was down the side street, residential area, and this beautiful home. And we just, you know, the gates opened, and we walked. We were welcomed, and we were brought not only into Lazarito's club/home, but into his private quarters upstairs, where, you know, we were treated with, you know, cigars and rum and food and, you know, anything really we asked for, you know, or wanted. So we were
well, when in Rome, do as Romans do, right?
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it was just the three of us, you know, And now remember too, there's no, you know, there's no cell phones, there's, you know, no way to really reach anybody. So the rest of the crew here is still, you know, waiting at the bar in the lobby, you know, and then where the heck are they, you know? And we were there, well, the next step was Lazarita said, well, why don't you come down? I have, you know, I'm playing in the band and my band is downstairs, and he mentioned other people that were there, musicians, and he brought us right to the front, to this area, which I guess, you know, is this area for special guests. And actually, they possibly could be listening in right now, because I told Gilberto and Lazarito and all that we would be on right now. So hoping that they're listening too.
All right. And welcome. Welcome. You got to come to Asbury Park. Right.
Yes. Now
they have,
we're all working on it. We're all working on it. Hopefully this summer.
And let me correct that. Of course, everyone got it, what I meant. Like, when in Cuba, do as the Cubans do, you know,
yes.
Not one in Rome. But anyway, that was great.
I
love the food. I love the food. I go to that restaurant, Cubacon in Asbury Park.
Yes.
And they were teaching me how to do salsa, dance in the salsa. And they had those, like, 9-inch heels on, and I'm like having trouble, and I'm in like sneakers. But anyway, I love salsa dancing. I think I'm going to start going there and start doing that. It's just a fabulous dance, salsa. But anyway, continue on, please.
So, well, you know what? The way to dance also, you got to dance in those high heels, man. So that adds to it, you know, the little flavor.
Well, I'm sure it does.
I don't want any broken ankles
at my age.
Right.
I'll wear heels, but they have to be just a little shorter.
Yeah, not real high. Like, yeah, I've gone down like about an inch these days. So yeah, I guess, you know, I get nosebleeds up there when I'm too high up. You know, being short. You know, being only 5'2".
Yeah, right.
So anyway, I went and we're there and we're in his special guest area and we're being wined and dined and all that kind of stuff. And then he comes over and he introduces us to his dad. And he says, you know what, I would like to bring you back on Sunday, and I would like you to have brunch with us. So, and actually Ed's sister Karen had joined us on the trip. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Karen.
That's
Johnson,
nice.
She joined us. We were actually roommates, Karen and I, the entire time.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, so she was very cool. We had a lot of fun. And so we were there, then we were meeting the family, and then we were invited back, and we were, you know, more or less kind of businessy, introducing each other, all that. They were welcoming us into their home. And we left about, which was hysterical, I guess. Matt wanted to close the place, which was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at the two of them, and I said, Ed and Matt, I said, we're going home now. So we packed up because it was really getting late. And we had really just gotten to Cuba, you know, a couple of days before. So we still didn't have our bearings, you know, yet. So I wanted to make sure we could get back, you know. And we did. It was a pretty cool ride because they took us actually along the Malecón at the time, and they invited us back to brunch, and Lazarito had his entire family there, and his assistant and, you know, an interpreter, we just had such a good time. He actually cooked for us. He cooked the entire meal for us.
That's fabulous.
Oh, it was beautiful. I posted some of the pictures, and he was just in the back, and then his son was there, and we were talking, and we were just, you know, there was really no language barrier. You know, we were sitting there listening to music. We were talking. We were eating. We were drinking.
And
they just treated us to, like, the best of what they had, and it was a really special time. And they're, you know, they're very concerned about who gets into office, you know, because they feel like that's going to steer them in one direction or the other at this point.
Right.
Politics did come up, and, we had a conversation about that. And the funniest thing, though, was when we were talking, and we were talking about TV shows, and his friend had said something about the TV shows, and we were comparing notes, and I said, oh, yeah, with Big Bang Theory, which is, she goes, oh, my God, I love the Big Bang Theory. And I said, I know, it's adorable that they finally got married. And she goes, no, don't tell me. She covered her ears. She's like, because our episodes are so far behind.
Oh, right.
And I didn't realize
that.
And, you know, I told her that, you know, Leonard and Paul, Penny got married, you know. And she's like, no, no, don't tell me anything more.
Right. I'm like that, too. I don't want anybody to tell, like, if they see a great movie and they go, oh, this movie. I say, don't tell me one word about the movie, not one. I just want to see it for myself. Or the same with a book. Don't tell me. Just let me, I want to experience the full, you know, the full thing from the beginning. I don't want anything.
Right.
No,
exactly, but you know, it's another like little, you know, bit that you don't realize that, you know, your TV isn't up to date, your shows aren't, and you figured there was a little lapse, but you didn't realize like,
right.
You know, there is a difference, and you know, you just take some of those things for granted, you know, and then, before we said anything after that would be like, okay, did you know about this? Like, we wanted to make sure we didn't, you know, ruin anything else, you know.
Right. Oh, I am so aware of that because about 17 years ago, or maybe a little bit less, I went to Ireland, and when I stayed there for 14 days, and it was just unreal to me when I put the TV on. I'm like, hello? And I'm switching the channels. I'm like, hello? And this is at a time when really Ireland was very, 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 very much behind in everything. I mean, they had no computers. They had no nothing. It was just like, forget it. It was unbelievable. I mean, I loved it, and I loved the country. But as far as entertainment was concerned, no way. It was like, oh, my gosh, what are these people really? It was something. But now, of course, they're way up to date and way beyond, and they've become a very wealthy country now, and things have changed completely, drastically now. So, but in a way, I'm
glad
that I would
love to go there.
When I did, because I was forced out of the room and into the thick of the heritage, and it was phenomenal. And I that's what you did over there, and that's what's so wonderful about traveling, is to really not just maybe different scenery, which is also phenomenal for me as a wanderlust. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just really do it even through TV on PBS and National Geographic and stuff like that, because it's really getting into the thick of the culture with the people. That's really what it's about, and that's exactly what
exactly.
You did. People,
yeah, by being welcomed right into their home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, you know, their home, and to just be with their family, and to, you know, as you would say, break bread with them and just hang out.
Right.
And I mean, we were there for hours and hours on Sunday, and then we had said, the three of us had talked, and we said, you know what, we would really like to bring the rest of the delegation back, you know, because there were 14 of us together. So, you know, there were 10 of us. We were making future plans. It was also, you know, a business meeting. It was a little bit of everything. And, you know, everyone says, yes, definitely. I mean, bring everybody back tomorrow night. So, you know, Karen was performing at an event, and it actually got delayed. Now, this is pretty hysterical, if you could, like, just kind of envision this, Nancy. But then Karen was performing, and it was getting rather late, and Matt looks at me, and I look at him and go, we have to get over to another venue because Preservation Hall is there, and Danny Clinch. And we wanted to meet up with him, you know, and he knew that we were there, and, you know, we knew that he was there, and we said we'd catch him in Cuba. And, but, you know, you don't know, people forget what it's like not to have a cell phone. I mean, there were certain hot spots, you know, but you don't have a cell phone.
Right.
You don't have credit cards because, you know, not through American banks. You know, you run out of money. You know, you try to reach someone because you lost them in the street somewhere. I mean, how do you find them, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like meet back at the hotel.
Hey, Danny, I have a message for Danny Clinch. Danny, it was fabulous meeting you inside Convention Hall several years ago when we did an interview on The Boss. It was about Bruce Springsteen and his fans. And ever since then, I said, Dan, you got to come on my radio show. And he said, I'd love to. Well, Dan, you've been so dang busy, mister. So anyway, if you're listening to this, or I'm going to stick this on your page, you better make a date now because, you know, I'm getting booked up really fast on my
shows. Right, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
so,
right. I know,
yeah,
Danny,
I love music and his photography, and I bet he's got some great photos over there in Cuba. I have not seen any of them, but I'm a busy gal myself, so I got a lot of things on my list to do. So anyway, getting
right.
back to your about your girl, your phenomenal, you know, flautist playing.
What happened was, the best part is coming, actually, where we meet with Danny. Actually, a few other people did come back. Martha came back with us. A couple of the guys came back with us, too, and Jeremy came back, and Mike, and because they wanted to see Preservation Hall, too, which, you know, that band is amazing. And, you know, Danny
right.
wanted to meet with Danny, which we did, and it was jam-packed. And so we had gone there, and we took taxis there, Then we said, oh, my gosh, it's getting late. We have to get over to the Valdez Jazz Club because they're expecting us. Where's the rest of the gang? Well, Karen, they had, you know, remember, this is, you know, Karen got put back maybe an hour and a half, whatever it was. So they were really running late. So we're at the Valdez Jazz Club, and it's me, Matt, and Martha, and Jeremy, and Mike. And we're hanging out in there, and we're dancing, and we're drinking our, you know, rum and all that kind of stuff, and talking to, you know, Lazarito and everyone, and his dad and all. And all of a sudden, the whole gang walks in, and it had to be, I don't know, 2:30 in the morning. Okay, now, at this time, you know, the club is just starting to hop, you know. You had everybody... musicians, it's just like I can't think of the word right now, the open mic, okay?
Oh, right,
that's
yeah,
the only way
jam session, right, an open
like,
jam.
And people are just in the audience, I mean, people are just at the club, like having dinner, or having drinks, whatever, there to see, you know, him and everything. All of a sudden, the crew comes in, and everyone got there by the tour bus, taken by the tour bus.
Oh, my God.
And dropped off. We dropped off at the club, which was hysterical. So if you could picture, you know, this huge tour bus with only a few people in it, it's late at night or early morning, being dropped off on a side street with people just running into this jazz club. It was just hysterical.
Now, is this a siesta like they do in Italy and in Spain? Do they do siesta during the day?
No,
they
keep going. Going and going. I mean, I'm
oh,
sure spots there are, but there, you know, the times for eating or, well, let's put it this way, just to kind of finish this story.
The times
or this
for
night,
eating are like 24 hours around the clock, it sounds like.
Oh, constant. I mean, you know, you do have the biggest,
and eating
like,
and socializing. Wow, you know what? I'd have to go back in time to be able to, I think, have the energy to sustain that kind of excitement.
I have energy too,
but I don't know, these days, you know, when you get up into your 60s, it's like almost 70, it's like, I don't know, this sounds like I'm getting tired listening to you.
I know. Well, that's why when they came back and they, you know, that Mike was teasing me, Mike and John, they were like, Martha has the pink Cadillac out front, the convertible, and it's 11:15. I'm thinking, okay, I'm either going to make it or I'm not. This is the line here, you know? Am I going to stay awake and I'm going to be up? I knew I'd be up for at least 5 hours yet, you know? Or should I just go home, as we were always saying, should we just go home, you know, and to the bar, whatever. But then, well, this was the night of nights, and Della Cruz did a beautiful job with in her broadcast on everyone about this night. Was we were just sitting there. He had invited us all in. We were all sitting in the front and all over the bar. We were all dancing. We were doing the salsa. We were doing whatever we could dance to the music. I mean, it was great. And musicians just started to, you know, be called up. And all of a sudden, Stand By Me started playing. And let me tell you, I almost got up because I was just like, okay, I know this song and I can play this song too. And sure enough, Lazarito, on the piano there, he had this beautiful, you know, piano. And so Lazarito got up on the piano and at the time, Diane Doolittle actually brought her flute. And she's like, I know this song. And Ed and I looked at each other and looked at Diane and said, go for it. You know, she was waiting for her moment, and this was Diane's moment. You know, she was waited the whole trip for it. And Diane
That's
got
great.
Up, and she played with the band and all the musicians. And then, I mean, it was just like people were sitting there, you know, having drinks, with her, and they're like, so-and-so is here, come on up. And then somebody else would come up. And so-and-so, I mean, it's all, you know, with Dela Cruz and Channel 12, she did a beautiful job in it and all. We put that out there. And then Karen was sitting with us. And Ed just looked at Karen, and he says, Karen, go ahead. Because you know, she was letting Diane have her moment, because Karen had done a lot of performing. Because remember, Karen was the we had quite a few transitions, you know, with the whole trip, with musicians, et cetera. You know, we had to go by different guidelines and all. And, you know, Karen was brought in at the last minute, and she, you know, and she was sponsored by Johnny Mack and all, and she was there. So she was in the program. She was put in at the last minute, and she did a wonderful job. I mean, she just, you know,
a couple of times. What a blessing.
Yeah.
What a great thing to happen. I mean, those are the aha moments that we have in our life that are just like, you know, they're just meant to be. They're like, you know, just in your destiny. And it's just, I was very happy for her. And when I met her, it was nice to meet her too over in Asbury Park at the Crane House at that event.
Oh, that event, yeah, the presentation that Ed, yeah. We've all been taking turns doing. Yeah, he did a great job with that, and everybody, you know, he had asked who wanted to go in on that to, you know, do their part, and Ed had done a great, you know, he did a great job on that, because we're all kind of taking turns. We all have these opportunities for shows and to be in radio and, you know, film and TV. Now we've got other things with NJTV, too, a lot of things coming up and possible documentary, everything I was telling you about, so it's moving really fast forward. So, Karen, I mean, just getting back to Karen, she, you know, there's certain things as a musician, you know, that you just learned, you need to know, you know. So those are the things that came, you know, to her when she was just jamming with musicians on stage whom she never met before, you know, and especially Cuban musicians, which, as she will even vouch for, are just really, their level of play is just way up there. I mean, there was a piano player, and that was hysterical, because he said at one point, he says, can you play like that? And he was playing. Well, obviously, this kid was just warming up. And I was like, yeah, I can play like that. And then all of a sudden, he started, I guess he was just warming up, you know. And he was playing, and I was like, nah, I don't think I can play like that. He was just, oh, my God, he was so good. And we just sat there mesmerized by just the level of play that, you know, all of them had.
I think it's really also for my own thinking is that, anyway, it's of my own opinions, but I think it's a cultural thing too, because when I lived in San Diego for 28 years, I lived like 15 minutes from the border of Tijuana, and I worked for a company, and we had 100 Mexican workers that I would see 5 days a week, 8 hours a day and more. And we partied. When we had parties, I mean, the people were so warm and, like, into the music. I mean, it's like part of their culture. The food, the music, the celebration, it's almost like it's just their way of life. And I have a cousin who's married to a Cuban girl, and they have an enormous family, and they are constantly partying. I mean, they are constantly having...
Yes.
It's all about family, getting everyone together, cooking. It's just in them. And I lived in Weehawken and worked up there for 8 years. I worked in Manhattan.
I know Weehawken well from my mom,
When I lived there in Union City area, it was 85 to 90% Cuban at the time. And we're going back to 1971 when the Cubans were coming here and being actually sponsored by the United States to open businesses along Bergen Line Avenue. And Bergen Line Avenue
Bergen Line.
Was all Cuban.
I know
you know that. But I would be stopping every morning having my my café con leche and the Cuban bread that they actually put butter on and then garlic, and they put it on a press, in between a press, and they flatten it all out. So all down, and then they cut it, so it's almost like you have these two big hot, warm garlic bread sticks, and that would be my breakfast every single morning. And then, of course, the black beans and rice, which I love too. But the people are just so warm, and it's fantastic. It's phenomenal. I love it. I love it.
It's just, yes, the culture.
And
you
in
know,
Ireland,
you were
they were
about
really
that.
Nice in Ireland, too. So I think it's not just to Latin. It's not just a Latin thing. It's just,
right.
I don't know. The more you travel, the more you find out wherever you go.
Exactly. I'm Polish, and I grew up like that, too. I mean, my father came from 13 and in a railroad apartment in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan. And, I mean, some of my fondest memories are from then. You know, so I totally get it. And, you know, even
I could say the same thing, being, you know, being Irish and having all these, like we'd have 27 Thanksgiving, and we would be at that darn table for like sometimes 8-9 hours talking and singing and carrying on. And it's like, yeah, the same thing. And it's great.
It's just, you know, I tell my kids, you know, I just wish you were there during those days, you know. You just, it's different now. Everybody, well, it's not always different. I mean, there are certain events or certain times where people do that, but I love that you just sit around in hours and hours. And I mean, that's what we did when we were in Cuba, and it just felt so good. Like, even this night, I don't think we left until maybe about 5 in the morning. Maybe it was even later that morning. But, you know, when Stand By Me came on, and everybody as just people from, you know, different cultures just became a family. Like I tell everyone, like I mentioned Adela during the interview, was I felt like it was, you know, like our long-lost cousins, you know, our long-lost family. And they had welcomed us back home. And when everyone got on stage and everybody in the whole club started singing Stand By Me and dancing, and there was no barrier of any kind
at
all. You know, music is a universal language.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. And I'm so glad that you guys got to do that. Oh, when I heard about it, I so was itching to go. But it wasn't. I just couldn't go. But
well, we're going back. We're going back in December, as you
know.
I know. Maybe there's an opportunity to go back over the summer. But I think I'm pretty pretty buried here with, you know, Jersey Shore stuff, where it's home and I want to be. So we've all discussed about Cuba Part 2 this December, and very exciting. And actually, it would not just be 14 people who are now family. I mean, we have a bond that is going to be there forever, you know. We're all friends now. We all keep in touch. We're like a little mini family now, which is great. But yeah, we're going. It's looking, yeah, we're going to go back. I mean, I know I'm definitely going back, and I know some of the crew is definitely going back, but there's been so many people reaching out to us, asking, you know, to join us. So I think it's going to be pretty huge. Yeah, so you join us, Nancy.
Yeah, I mean, you went before President Obama went. I mean, you know, that's something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know what? Well, you know, being at Rutgers this weekend with President Obama here, I'm going to tease him. Yes.
You started the ball rolling, you and Ed Johnson, former mayor of Asbury Park. You started the ball rolling, and then Obama went. So look, it keeps saying end of episode, and here we, you know, and I still talk and ignore it, and then they do, I never get cut off, but I don't like to take advantage of my studio. So I am going to have to just thank you at this time, because I have nonprofit organizations that I have to mention before I go off the air.
Yes, you go right ahead. Yeah, I know you do.
Again, and we could go talking forever and ever. I'm sure we could even do a part 3, but it just goes on and on. I will be looking forward to, and please let me know when you do things and post them right on my page. Just post them right on my Nancy Ryan page. You know, anything having to do with this Cuba, because then I just put the, you know, like I did today when I saw, or yesterday, yeah, it was today, I think, or last night, I don't know, when I saw that you wrote something about, you know, where you were, and I just put, look, and if you want to hear Beverly talk about Cuba, go to, so, you know, and I like to promote that way. So whatever you do, just put it right on my page.
Okay, I will do. Yeah, because we've been called in for quite a few interviews, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up. So I will share them with you, and you can share them
thank
to
you
your
very much.
Huge,
thank
wonderful
you.
Universe. We appreciate that, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you. It's been wonderful having you again, and lots of luck with your barefoot sandals. I know you're doing phenomenal, and I read the wonderful article about you, and I love the photograph. It's just beautiful. Both of those photographs were beautiful. The article is great. I printed it out last night. So, well, okay, girls, get ready for, you know, it's definitely, it's barefoot season all year round.
It is barefoot season, yes.
I love
in Cuba and at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so you just look out for Beverly and go get some beautiful jewelry for your feet. Okay. Beverly,
I will do that. Thank you, Nancy, for having me, as always. It's great. Yeah, thank you again, and have a great rest of the night.
I have to say too that I'm hoping to go with you. I'm hoping to go with you or follow you or, well, I have my GPS, but I will be seeing you at the Strand Theater on the 26th. I want to put that out there for the first Girls Night Out. Whoop-dee-doo.
It's
going to
be so fun.
Yeah.
Sherry, I've been talking with Sherry and Lori, and we've got a specifically designed barefoot sandal line for that night. It's going to be a combination of beach and music, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And we are just going to have a great time there with all the girls. It's going to be fun.
I'm going to be promoting it, and I will be there at the event, and I will be taking photographs, and I will be doing a post event review with photos. So I'm really looking forward to it as well. And with that, I'll say good night, and I get I'll see you around, Beverly. Take care,
honey.
All
right, thanks, Nancy. See you soon.
Take
care. Thanks. Bye.
Beverly Beveridge, and I'm sure most of you all know her. And if you don't, you go to her Facebook page and get to know her. Okay, folks. Now I would like to just move forward now with my nonprofits, and they're getting to be such a big list here. So first is Minister Steve of Tent City, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, my friend, she's with City of Angels, and it's Recovery Radio. My friend Beverly Cruz, she's right here in Long Branch, and I give her scarves every year. I make them for the homeless, and it's called Hit the Streets for the Homeless. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. My friend Carlos Rodriguez, director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. And I have to tell you that each and every one of my nonprofits have been a guest on my radio show. And some of them go back over 3 years. Minister Steve was one of my very first. He was, in fact, my very first nonprofit. And then we come up to number 8, which is Paul Ressler. He is the president and CEO of Tupac, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. And that's very important. They're all important. And last but not least, and very wonderful special guest that I had on, was the wonderfully talented Mr. Tim McClune, who is the restaurateur, of course, and he is the founder of Holiday Express. So I really enjoy telling everyone about all of these nonprofits. If you have any spare time, if you can share your time and talents or your finances, whatever it is, give any one of them. They're all on Facebook as well, so they're really easy to find. And with that, I'm going to thank one other person, and this is my very first sponsor of all time since I've gone into radio, and her name is Dr. Inna Silman. And she is with Smiles on Broadway. They actually have, this is her third office, her and her husband have. And she is my dentist. And I'm really enjoying her being my dentist. She's doing a wonderful job. So if you have any dental needs, you'd go see Dr. Silman and tell her that I sent you. Okay, everybody. Listen, have a fantastic, phenomenal evening. It is absolutely gorgeous. Get out there for a walk. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. All righty, bye-bye, till next time, and I have really special, exciting guests coming up, so stay tuned. All my shows are archived for your listening pleasure and convenience. Just go to my blog talk radio, Ryan Knox at Asbury Park Style. Good night, everybody.